Well, today is a very special day in the life of our church. It's Family Dedication Sunday. Now, this is a little different. Depending on your church background, a lot of places call it baby dedication. And I chose not to do that some years ago, a lot of years ago actually, because it's really a family event. When we commit as a family to loving and nurturing and training our children, it's a family event. Now, I don't know who said it. I'm not sure. It may have been Hillary Clinton. I don't know. But it takes a village to raise a family. And there's truth in that. And so with that in mind, this is the way we handle our family dedication, where we focus on the family. Now, that's a big different study. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open with me to Psalms, the 78th chapter. And we're going to look at just five verses this morning. And I'm going to read all five verses, and then we'll begin to walk through those. Beginning in verse 3, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us, we will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, and even the children not yet born, and they would in turn tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments. Now, the thing about Family Dedication Sunday is this, is it's really just a highlight of what I believe we're all committed to, but it's a reminder to us all of how important that it is as we put fingerprints on the lives of the newest in our church, in our families, and in our communities. Verse 3 says this, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have taught us. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you guys had a spiritual upbringing? You went to church, you were taken to church. Put your hand up, all the way up. Oh, that's awesome. That's really good. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I had a second family. My biological parents, my father was killed in a work accident when I was 9, and my mother died a drunk driver when I was 11. And unfortunately, in those first 11 years, I did not have any sort of spiritual foundation. There was not a Bible in our home. We did not attend church. There was no prayer. And without going into a great deal of details, when my father died, calamity fell upon our lives because there was no safe harbor. There was no anchor to hold us to. And so it's so important to give a spiritual heritage to our children, because when I went to my second family, and I was fortunate to have two, my family was intentional, and more importantly than that, consistent in making sure that I was at church and all that that entails. Now, I don't know if you know this, but sometimes kids don't like to go to church. I know you're surprised to hear that. And sometimes kids don't like to sit in church. I know, you're so surprised. And sometimes kids don't appreciate it whatsoever. Parents and soon-to-be parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, can I just say this with all love and humility? Bring them anyway. Because they will not understand the value of what you're giving them until they get older. That's just the way we are. I mean, how many things do we teach our kids that they don't see the wisdom? I remember when I was a much younger man, my dad taught me how to change the plugs and wires on my car. Now, what this is, for you may not be mechanically inclined, and I'm not either, I just sound like I am, it's when you're transferring the energy from your battery to your engine to start your engine, okay? So my dad taught me how to do this, and one day I thought, I'm going to do this, and I was out, and I got the new plugs and the new wires and the new rotor cap, and I'm doing all that, and I'm feeling manly. I'm not going to kid you. I was feeling like Hercules. I mean, greasy, and I mean, it was spectacular. It was getting late in the day, and so I start the car up, and it starts up, but I could hear this noise. Well, you know, you don't have to be a genius to realize you don't want to hear that. So I look underneath the hood. Well, there's the rotor, and then on the end, there's a rotor cap, And then on the end of the rotor cap, there's this great big plug. And that's the one coming straight from your battery into your rotor cap. And so I can see that. There's a small arc going between those two things. Now, some of you know what's about to happen. So I see this small arc, and I can hear this noise, and I think to myself, self, you need to fix that. So I reached in there and grabbed that coil. Now, if you don't know what this will do for you, Harris, would you help someone discover, where's Harris? Would you help someone learn that today if they wanted to learn it? Come on, Harris. I need you. We just do it out here in the parking lot. Well, here's what happens, ladies and gentlemen, is when you grab that coil, you get all the juice coming from that battery. And it hits you so quick, and it was just a millisecond after it hit me that I heard my father's voice, don't ever touch that wire while the car's running. I pull my hand back, and I look like a monkey claw. And man, you know what I did? The first thing I did was look around to see if anyone saw me. Because, man, that's really what we're worried about. And thank God this was before video. And then the second worry was this. Is this ever going to loosen back up? You see, sometimes we don't appreciate what's been taught to us until life brings us experiences that teach us to appreciate it. And a spiritual foundation is one of those things that most children won't truly comprehend until life begins to buff up against them. And when that day comes, I know it was for me, the first thing I did when I moved out of my parents' house at 18 was stop going to church. You know why? They couldn't make me go to church anymore. And I went out there and I just, you know, I thought I had the world by the tail, and the truth was the world just had me. But I'm so thankful that on that January morning when my friend invited me to church, I could go back to church and it wasn't all that weird because I had a spiritual foundation to draw upon. So it's so important that we teach and give a spiritual foundation. It's so important that we value that. We place a high value. Ladies, can I say this? Gentlemen, can I say this? A spiritual heritage is more important than athletic prowess. A spiritual heritage is more important than anything in the world. And we should value that. We should be thankful for that. And we should thank those who gave that to us, if you have that today. I remember this one man, and God forgive me, I can't recall his name, but every Saturday morning at 6 a.m., he would drive by my house, and he would pick me up and take me to the men's breakfast. I wasn't related to him. We went to the same church, and he would come by and pick me up. My dad didn't go. No, neither of my brothers went, but he would take me. And I thank God for him today. I thank God for all those ladies in my Sunday school classes. I thank God for all those ladies in my vacation Bible school classes. I thank God for all those counselors who went to camps with me. I mean, I wore them out, I have no doubt, but I thank God for them. And today, if you are enjoying a spiritual heritage, I hope that you will thank God for them. And if you have the chance, maybe you drop them a text. Maybe you go by and see them. Maybe it's your parents, your grandparents, those sort of people. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their descendants, and we will tell the next generation. We are called to share with the next generation. Now, it's interesting is the percentage of people who have a spiritual heritage in here is really quite surprising to me, truthfully. That number is going down. We have a responsibility. Now, let me ask you this. Does anything good happen by accident? Not usually. Let me ask you this. Have you ever lost 10 pounds by accident? Now, I mean, if you get the flu, that doesn't count. The things in life of value have to be accomplished by purpose. And we are called to share with the next generation the truths of God's word and what we have enjoyed and learned. We must share it with our children. There is no greater importance in the world than our children. We must share it with our families, our extended families. We must share it inside our church families. And then once we've began to do this, we take it out and we share it with our community. Do you know how communities improve? When communities love God more than other things. A community rises in our nation and ultimately our world. We have a responsibility to begin in our homes and teach what we know, share what we know with to the uttermost parts of the world. Talked about his praiseworthy deeds. The praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. We must tell them of God's greatness. Can I ask you a simple question? Is God truly great? Is God truly great? Can I just say this? I'm not sure the church as a whole is truly convinced of that anymore. Because we'll talk about a lot of things. We'll put a lot of faith in a lot of things. And we should have faith in things. And we should glorify in things. But are we truly convinced that God is great? Because if he is, we are responsible to tell others and to remember what God has done in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, you have no control over what happens tomorrow. Tomorrow is a hope for you and for me. I have very little control over what happens today. I got the next 30 minutes, and then we go downhill from there. When I get to my daughter's house for this birthday party, I'm out of control. All I am is dad, what? You know. But ladies and gentlemen, the one thing you and I have absolute 100% control over is if we remember what God has done in the past. Can I say this? Your attitude about God will have a direct correlation to the attitude of your family, your children, your spouse, your church, and your community. I look back over my life, and ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot to be praiseworthy. When I found out I was going to be a father of that little girl, I was terrible in the way I responded. My sweet bride comes and picks me up and she says, I went to the doctor today. I hadn't been feeling well, okay. And she hands me the pregnancy test. And gentlemen, you know what I said? What does this mean? No, I'm sorry. There's two questions. The first one was this. What is this? There's a lot of things you can't confuse and a pregnancy test is one of them. She goes, well, it's a pregnancy test. Men, you know what I'm saying. Well, what does this mean? We're going to have a baby. And I was absolutely terrified. Because at 9 years old, I lost my Superman. At 11 years old, I lost my mother. And I believed in my mind and I believed in my heart, based on the circumstances of life, that I was going to die by the time I was 30. And the first thing I could think of was that my children would grow out without their dad. I believed I was going to die when I was 30 until I was about 33. And I began to pray, God, just let me see my children graduate high school. And then I had to change my prayer. God, just let me see them marry. And I had to change my prayer. God, let me see the next generation. And here she is. And now my prayer is this. God, let me live long enough that my granddaughter can see Jesus. God, it's been so good to me. And I want to be able to look in my granddaughter's eyes and tell her of the goodness of my God, who sustained me through that car accident, who planted me in a home that gave me faith and family, who gave me a bride that's far better than I ever deserved, a mother among mothers. Ladies and gentlemen, if we are not praising the goodness of our God, our children and our family and our community will not hear it. When we think about church and we bemoan church and all those things, why do you think your kids don't want to come? Look back in your life. Is God praiseworthy in your life? I guarantee you he is. And if he is, we need to share it with our kids. The praiseworthy deeds, we must be careful not to fix or become fixed on the trials of life. Can I ask this question? Does life ever get hard? Yeah. Is life ever real hard? Is life ever real, real hard? Yep. Is life ever like a big old silverback gorilla that just jumps on you? Because you know what? When you dance with the gorilla, you only stop when the gorilla says stop. You know, just as we're to teach the praiseworthiness to our children, we don't lie to them about the challenges of life. Life's hard sometimes. But in the valley, God is there. Amen? No matter where they go, no matter what they go through, God will never let them go because he never let me go. And he never let you go. We have to be very careful that we praise the Lord, but do not build a false sense of roses. Life is hard. And if the Lord tarries his coming, I can't imagine what life will be like in 20 years. Jacob, when you and Emma are standing here and at dedication Sunday, and I'm up here like this, well, it's good to see you, Jacob. We have to build a ramp over here, or maybe a little elevator. That'd be awesome. Or maybe I'll just be a holograph. But in about 15, no, not 15, not 15. Am I what, 22? Never. All right, listen, I'm going to have to speak truth to you. That's not the way it rolls. Just look right over there. But we can't become so transfixed on the trials of life that we taint the optimism and hopefulness that comes natural in a child. Is there nothing greater on Facebook than kids? You see, man, I was thinking of our teachers the other day. This little boy is standing at the door of their classroom, and the kids pick how he greets them. And I'm thinking, first of all, that's awesome. And second of all, look at this kid. This kid, he doesn't know anything other than, hey, I'm greeting you, and they're doing all that stuff. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children. And so the next generation would know them, and even the children not yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds and but would keep his commandments. One of the challenges as a parent and a grandparent and a godparent and an aunt and an uncle is this. It's pouring truth in the lives of these little ones. Now, we live in an age where people ask this question, what is truth? The Bible says, thy word is truth. Do you know the only truth in the world that has not changed generation to generation? God's word. Now, you may be sitting here and you look at the world today and you go, it's just all falling apart. And then I sit here and I look, man, it's changed a lot in my 53 years. And if the Lord tarries, you'll look when you're dedicating your grandchild and you'll go, man, look at this. Things change. But God's truth doesn't change. You will hear a phrase today, and I hope that you listen for it to this, is this. Well, they're just sharing their truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're allowed to share our truth so long as it doesn't contradict the truth. If you teach your children to live by their truth, they're going to break your hearts. Mark it down. Call me and text me when it happens, but I'm telling you, if you train your children up to live their lives and your lives by your truth, your heart is going to be broken, and it'll be sooner than later. But when we train up our children that God's word is truth, and we live by that truth, even when it's not comfortable, even when it's not socially cool, even when it makes us miss out on what everybody else says we need to be doing, if you do not give them a standard that doesn't change, then their standards will change, and it won't always be your standard. As we come to this time where we're going to dedicate the families, let me just say this because I won't say a lot at the end. You want to go get Mia? Anybody else got the littlest in the nursery? Go grab them. To our parents, and then we've got a number of soon-to-be parents. Where's Megan up there? It's you and others. Can I say this to our new parents and our soon-to-be parents? It's worth every moment. It's worth every tear. It's worth every sleepless night. It's worth every dollar you spend. It's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. It's the best of times and it's the worst of times, but it's worth it. And I want to give you one of the greatest words of counsel that I can. Your children, you need to hold them tight enough to mold them into what God would have them been molded into, but loose enough to let them go. Our children are not our ownership, they are our stewardship. And that stewardship goes by quick. Parenting is a lifelong sentence. The roles change. I've been a grandparent now for 1 year, and it's still new to me. For those of you that are new parents and soon to be parents, shape those children up in the way that the Lord would have them shaped. And be ready. Because just like arrows in a quiver, life will pull those children out of your quiver and notch them up on that bow. And then the day will come, and away they go. Do the preparation while you can. And you'll reap the rewards on the back end. You got to do the work on the front end to reap the rewards on the back end. So we're going to go into our dedication time. Now let me explain to you a couple of things here. We have a professional photographer here. He's going to be taking pictures. And then at the end of the service, families, because we're going to have just the parents and the kiddos up here. Space is a little limited. At the end of the service, after we've dismissed, we invite the families to stay. We want to give you guys a family portrait or some photographs. So he'll be here. So don't run off, and we'll get this cleared off. We'll get you a really nice family dedication portrait after we finish the service, all right? And then another thing I want you to notice is this, is the systematic process by which we go through this next portion. I was a youth minister in the early years of my ministry, because when you get saved and called to ministry at early 20s, you're called to youth ministry. That's a joke. That's a joke. Anyway, but one of the things is this, is as a student minister, it was my deepest conviction that my position never superseded the parental position. Parents are parents, and they're always parents, and we have to respect them and honor them. So if you'll watch, as we go through this time of dedication and commitment, you're going to see that we begin with the parents. Everything begins with the parents. And then we're going to work our way down to include all of us, that is this child's village, that we'll be making a commitment together to pour into these lives, like that little one right there. So I wanted you to see that, okay? All right, well, let's go ahead and have the kiddos and the parents come on up here. All right. Rick, why did you sit in the middle? That's just illogical from the jump. For those of you who may not know, that is my son-in-law, in which I am well pleased. So come on up here, kiddos. Come on up. All right. So what we're going to do, come on up, Lou. You guys get up on the platform. I'll get down so you have plenty of space. So what we're going to do is I'm going to let you guys introduce yourself and introduce your family. Come this way. There we go. Come on down. You're good. Because not everybody knows everybody, okay? So Why don't you guys go first? All right, good deal. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to systematically walk through this, and I'm going to ask a series of questions, and we'll respond. And it's very important, you know, as we make these vows one to another. The Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make one and break it. And I believe that our family vow is as important as the vows we make in our marriages. So it's very important. Are you ready? Huh? Oh, and if you don't know, today is Mia's 1 year birthday. So I slept a lot more last night than I did last year, Mia. So, all right. So let's go ahead and get this started. The first, we're going to look at the parents' oath. And this is for you. And I want to challenge you with this as parents. You are the parents of your children. And there are a lot of wonderful, loving people who want to be a part of your lives and be a part of your team, and rightly so. But the sole responsibility is yours. You are their parent. And you should be sure to maintain that. You should be the leader in those things. And so I want to ask you first and foremost, and you can say we will. That's probably the best way. Ask you this question. Do you vow to live God's word in both word and deed? We will. Do you vow to make the study of God's word a priority in your life and in your home? And then lastly, do you vow to make church life a priority for your family? All right. Now, what I want to ask is this, is if you're a godparent, a grandparent, an aunt, or an uncle, would you please stand? And we are going to issue a oath for you. I would say cousins, you can, as cousins, but I could just say this, when I was a cousin, I wasn't necessarily the best influence. And so, as a family, you have fingerprints in these kiddos' lives, and it's highly important that you and their parents are playing the same song. We want to make sure that these kids are getting the same message wherever they are when it comes to the truths of God's word. And so I'm going to ask you as families, do you vow to love, serve, and respect one another in the care and for the guidance of these children? Do you vow to live and to teach God's word in both word and in deed? Thank you. You can be seated. Now, as your pastor, there's no greater responsibility in my life apart from my family than this. To be a part of your life in this capacity is the utmost of privilege. And these are my three vows to you. First, I vow to live in such a way to never cause you or your child to doubt God. Hi. I vow to always teach the word of God, nothing more and nothing less, with authority, grace, and love. And lastly, I vow to protect your family and this church all the days that I am the pastor here. That's my vow to you. Now I'm going to ask our elders and our deacons to stand wherever you are. Gentlemen, you are the guardian servants of this fellowship. And you have responsibility to the oldest as well as the youngest. You are the leaders. You are the providers. It is your responsibility, as it is mine, to give these families everything we have to give to them for their ultimate well-being. And so I'll ask you, men, do you vow to teach God's word nothing more and nothing less? Do you vow to love, to lead, and to serve these families? Do you vow to provide a safe and comfortable place to worship, to learn, and to serve? Thank you. You can be seated. Now, to everyone that calls ALF home, would you stand with me, please? Because being a church is more than showing up in one building on Sunday mornings. Being the church means that we live and we love what we believe here and everywhere that entails. That means we cry together when sorrow comes. That means we celebrate together when joy comes. And that means we're there for all points in between. ALF, you are responsible to be a ministering tool, a loving support system for these families and these kids. Just like Jacob, who's been here longer than me. The next generation stands before us. The next generation of church leadership. The next generation of civic leaders. The next generation stands before you. Come here, kid. Someone want to go check the security? That's going to be next door. So I would ask you, we've had false alarms, so worry not. So I would ask you, church, do you vow to teach God's word, nothing more and nothing less? Do you vow to provide a place for worship, a place for worship, fellowship, and growth? And then lastly, do you vow to love and to serve unconditionally? Thank you. Now let's all stand together. We're going to pray a word of... That's right. We are purely authentic. So let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for the gift of children. And Father, we thank you for life and family. And Father, we recognize that the family is one of the chief cornerstones of our society. And Father, we ask today that you would bless these families. Lord, we pray that you would give them a deep love and conviction and desire to know you intimately and to follow you closely all the days of their lives. Father, we pray that they would put a premium on training up their children in the truth of your word. Father, today we thank you for the privilege that it is to be a part of their lives. Father, we ask that as leaders and as a church and as family members, Lord, that we will love them. Lord, that we will live with them. And Lord, that we will partner with them in training up these precious children of theirs. Father, we ask that you would bless us. We ask, Lord, that you would protect us. Lord, we ask that you would guide us as we seek to do this. And Father, we will give you the glory, for you and you alone are worthy of it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.